I know, like, we don't have, like, a – we probably only have, like, a small handful of listeners. But I just realized we never introduce ourselves. So
– you know what? That sort of hit me as well. I think we did it for, like, the first episode and where you introduced yourself as me. And I think we did – in reverse as well, just assuming that people would get –
Classic bad joke.
Yeah.
So I'm Nick.
And I'm – should I go with my full name or should I just – I'm making this too complicated already.
Just say the full name.
Okay, I'm Nils Petter, that's my name.
Yeah, but I don't think I've ever called you that. I hope you're not offended that I always just go with Nils instead.
Oh, we don't care. I'm speaking for all Swedes everywhere when I say that if we ever get like the American with the English pronunciation of our names, we don't care. In fact, we usually directly translate our names to the English equivalent anyway, because it just flows better when we speak. So we're so used to it that. Plus, if you have a double name like me, you get a ton of nicknames anyway. So you're not used to your own full name anyway.
Oh yeah, there's so many nicknames we haven't explored. Like I could be calling you NP.
That's one.
Yeah, I feel like that's more work than just saying Nils though.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean. Yeah. I think that's true a lot of the time for nicknames. They're not about saving time.
So that's who we are. We're going to talk about the first four chapters of Finding Evil, which is the second volume. So they're not the first four chapters ever, but they're the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As we're talking, I am flipping through this freshly printed version of The Evil Life Part 1, which is the first three chapters of Growing Evil, not Finding Evil. So the first ever three chapters. And I'll tell you what, it looks good, but...
It sounds good.
I still gotta fix these captions. They just don't look right.
Well, I mean, we discussed this prior to recording, but I think digitally they look great. I don't look...
No, I agree with you. I think they do look good there, but printed, yeah. they didn't work well before, and so now what I did was I got rid of the colored backgrounds on them, and I just made them basically like the space that the caption exists in is subtracted from the panel, so the border kind of goes around the caption, and it looks good, but the font doesn't look like it's lined up properly. It's a long story, but after we're done today, I'll probably finally finish it.
So basically, it's all about like the margins around the text.
Yeah, it's just the margins, and it's almost there. Yeah. And then the other thing is, when I print this out, it prints out on a sheet of paper, which I guess would be like, you know, it's American 8.5x11, which is like basically A4, I think, right?
Yeah.
And but I was having to trim off a nice sized chunk off the bottom, and I realized I could have maybe been filling it up with something. So I wrote a totally unrelated short story, and that's so when I slice it now, I'm not wasting the paper that I didn't need from the bottom of this thing. It's going to be made into another little zine.
That's really interesting. Not too far from the mini story that's taking place in the comment section on Webtoons. Right?
Wow. It's like, blowing up over there, right?
What kind of... That was a segue, wasn't it? I just want to say before we actually do segue to the comic, I am so glad that you're the one handling the prints. I mean, I would probably at the point where you're at go, that's good enough. Print that's probably how disciplined I'm at when it comes to margins and stuff. Like I'll do
There's
it.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's but okay too.
It'll reach a point where I'm just it's readable. People can see the words. It's good.
Well, you know what it is. I got this new home printer, and I got it specifically so I could print comics out. And it, you know, that means nowadays what I'm working on is our comics between this and our underwater koalas.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to print it at home from the comfort of my home, I want to be printing out like the best version of it that I can do, or best version that I can print. I don't know what the right way to say that is, but it's so close. We're so there. So anyway, if somebody hears this podcast and they want to be the owner of this imperfect version, that's so close to being perfect, but it's slightly imperfect. Just shoot me an email, nickmarino@gmail.com, and you can have this early test copy of The Evil Life.
Nice. And you'll also get the chance to read the never-before-seen mini-stories set in the margin of that comic.
Right. It's called The Scraps, because they are the scraps of paper that I was slicing off of the... Anyway,
let's reuse that segue. So speaking of the margins at the bottom of the page, the comment sections come alive.
Dude, it's blown up, right? I really feel like I'm very enthusiastic.
For real, and in terms of a mini story.
Yeah. So we got a couple of our commenters are, you know, they're marmots that are in our comic. Yeah. And I guess they found out that we did this comic about them. And so I don't really feel like they're reading it because they're fans. I feel like they're hate reading The Evil Life.
Well, I mean, they're in it. They don't agree with the way they're portrayed, right?
Yeah, but you know what? I thought that we did like a pretty good job, like accurately portraying them.
Retelling their story? Yeah. I think Felicia's pretty pissed with us. I mean, she did not like the fart panel.
No. I mean, maybe I went a little overboard with the sound effect. Maybe it was good. Yeah. I mean, your cloud was very visible. I guess farts in real life aren't that visible, you know?
And they're in a small space as well.
Yeah, so I don't think we were unfair, you know? But maybe we were telling the story a bit more from Hester's point of view, so like some of Felicia's point of view isn't in there, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, they're really going for it on there. They always got some wise-ass comment for us now.
Yeah, even on the pages where they're not even – I mean, they're not in most of the pages where they comment as well.
Yeah, I mean, they're not even – I don't even think they're in the book anymore. I mean, they're gone. I don't even know why they care so much, but they do.
Yeah.
So, look, you know what? At the end of the day, shout out to them for reading. I disagree with their takes on a lot of things, but I appreciate their activity.
I mean, Felicia's one to talk, though. They mugged a guy.
Yeah. Not going to win Ethical Marmot of the Year
award. That is not her proudest moment, is it?
No.
Then again, that guy was, I suppose, mugger / potential murderer. He does take a swing at Hester.
He definitely seems like he would have killed her, I think, if given the chance.
Oh, we're talking about, this is chapter, what is it?
Chapter 1.
Chapter 1 of the, or if you're reading on Webtoons, 13.
Oh yeah, I forgot Webtoon carries over the cumulative numbers.
Yeah, so it's 13 if you're counting by issues, but it's number 1 of the New Arc.
I had to make the command decision to, this was like a, you know, Rosie and I discussed this, I got her input on it, and I was like, it just seemed like it made more sense to do a fresh numbering for the new volume, you know?
Oh, definitely. I mean, since we're calling it Finding Evil instead of Growing Evil.
Yeah, that was a whole thing, remember, when we were trying to come up with the name for this comic?
Yeah, because we sort of went back and forth between all of these different names, like Growing Evil, Finding Evil, The Evil Life. The Evil Life stuck, even though, did we address why we decided to call it The Evil Life?
No, and I feel like I was just telling Rosie the story in the car the other day. It was going to be a reality show.
It was.
Comic.
And it was, I think the name was based on that show, The Simple Life. This is for all of you youngsters out there. I think it's like this 50-year-old reality show about living on a farm.
Well, you know what?
Something like that.
The Simple Life, yes, actually, because when you bring it up, that probably would have been fresh in our minds at the time. Yeah. But when I think about the title, I think of that even older reality show that's probably like almost 30 years old now, The Real Life.
Oh, The Real Life. It was an MTV, one of theirs, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so the whole the life part of the title was based off of reality shows in general. It has nothing to do with any of those specific shows other than this comic being about these three supervillains living in an apartment together, sometimes having these like confessionals.
I think we were going to have confessionals. Yeah.
Where they're annoyed with their roommates talking smack about them behind their back, stuff like that. We never did that, though.
No, never happened. We did. Oh. We wrote our stories. It was going to be 3 8-page stories, and then we were going to have confessionals. And the confessionals just never materialized. And then we were like, well, I feel like maybe we have to explain that one story. We should probably do more about that. It wasn't even 8 pages. It was 8 panel stories.
Yeah, that's right. It was like 24 pages. But then one of the arcs, I think, got a little longer. So it ended up being like 30 pages. And then we felt, hey, this thing kind of needs a backstory. Or why don't we take this 2 pages longer, this part of the story? And eventually just grew organically to, I don't know, it's like 150 pages. I don't know how long it is.
Honestly. It's just like shy of 400 panels, which I think if you were to put 3 panels on a page was like 115 or something like that.
Yeah.
Or somewhere, you know, 120. The, 120.
I remember us going back and forth between 2 panels per page and 3 panels per page.
Yeah, it's not like a direct. It's not like straight up like 130 pages because it got condensed.
Like a trade paperback length of a comic.
And honestly, hilariously, when we envisioned what it might look like on the page, we pictured it would be 2 panels per page. And then I was like, I don't know, we should probably put 3 panels on a page so it's more like a comic book page. And now that I'm printing it myself, I'm back to 2 panels per page. Yeah. And so who knows?
Yeah, we had, I think when we went back and forth between those layouts, we also went back and forth between how many panels we needed for certain events. So I think once we went from 3, I think we ended up on 2 for quite a while.
Yeah,
and when we did, we had to figure out, because 2 panels of different scenes couldn't be on the same page. So sometimes we had to add like an extra panel to a scene just to make it all make sense.
Yep.
And that's also one of the things that made it longer and longer as we worked on it.
It's expanded. That was, it's ballooned.
That was good, though, in my opinion, just because it sort of helped the story. I think aiming for a set number of pages would have been detrimental to the story. I kind of liked how we just let it be what it was and just added and added. It doesn't make for a perfect story, just not in tight, in terms of like tight storytelling, but it does add that whole like just let's just go along for the ride kind of feel.
I think that it worked out really well for us creatively because we just had a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. And if it's fun, add it.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I think the other thing that's pretty unique about that is I can't think of anybody else who's gone through that process with a comic where they were just like, well, I'll just kind of, you know, add on a little bit here and there as I go. They normally have a exact time when it's going to be released or an exact space that it needs to fill.
Yeah,
but I think because we chose the same size panel every single time, gave us some flexibility to kind of modify it as we went.
And we have talked about why we went with the wide angle. Yeah, digital first was the initial idea. Yeah.
If only the world had changed with us.
Yeah. Yeah, like everyone, if everyone were reading comics on their phones today, that we would have like just nailed, we would have cornered that market with our
wide-angled
panels.
I'm looking at this printed version right now, and really the size that I ended up printing the panels at, they are about the size of a phone screen.
intended. Yeah.
It's still meant to be read that way. And hopefully there are some people out there who may have tried the PDF of Growing Evil on a device like that size. And I hope they enjoyed it if they did.
So you want to talk about
Near
the Chappers?
Yeah, so we got Hester has been kicked out of her Marmot Enclave in the Kalagata Nature Preserve after getting her butt whooped and embarrassed publicly by Megaville's industrial defender, Midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's moved to the city of Megaville, to East Megaville Park specifically, and she's living in, you know, kind of like the equivalent of like when somebody like has their first apartment and it's kind of dumpy, you know, and you have a roommate maybe you don't like that much. Well, that's what happened to Hester, living with Felicia in this stinky marmot hole.
Yeah, eating leftovers. And I think it's kind of cozy. I mean, they have sort of like this kind of nice roommate. I mean, other than just these tiny marmots being meat hungry sociopaths. I like the whole, I can sort of get into her living situation. It looks kind of like
that. I think I would be cool with it too. I don't even think it's that different from my current living situation, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, for a while.
Yeah.
Nothing permanent, but yeah.
Honestly, Felicia, if you're listening, Yeah. I gotta say, I think Hester's a bit of a snob to you. I really don't think it looks that bad. You guys look like you're having fun.
She's got electricity in a marmot hole. I mean,
yeah,
a working TV. That's pretty impressive.
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did we have any good little jokes that you snuck in there in this chapter?
Well, we have one that you actually planted, which is coming from the TV. We'll expand. I think we'll expand upon that more later. But
wow, the
Moriarty thing.
Yeah, in fact,
yeah. Space lock.
That space lock is going to be a bit featured in our next chapter.
I know.
Yeah, the beginning of it. So
we're going to have to return to that later, but I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good.
Oh, space lock.
I like space lock.
So strong. Yeah, me too. So, we've got that. There aren't that many things I think hidden. We see a return of the brand Happy Cow Burger. A lot of brands. Come and go in this universe. Usually they're kind of dumb and sort of like blatantly obvious. There's one when Blarf comes from the... Oh, that's in the next chapter, by the way. Shoe Plus is another one.
Yeah.
I don't think there are that many like tiny hidden details in this chapter other than brands and I guess that she uses a fork for an antenna on the TV, which is just, you know, to add to the trashiness of it all. And
I gotta say, you know, as somebody who has watched a lot of antenna television in their life and done a lot of things to try and get my antenna reception good,
mm-hmm.
utensils don't work.
Yeah.
So I mean, Felicia is dropping the ball on that.
Yeah. But I guess it's what it's made of as well. But yeah, you're probably right. I mean, it's just one of those stereotypical things that you had to, there you go. You got me. I have not fiddled that much with antennas in real life. I have a little bit. I have, but not with antennas.
No. You know what? Like sometimes it can make a slight difference, but like this is gonna sound really crazy, but so you got your bunny ears antennas, your classic, mm-hmm. and the number one thing to put on them is some foil on the end of them. Make little flags out of foil, and it gives it just a little kick. Yeah, I have tried. Grabbing whatever metal utensils are in my kitchen and kind of like laying them on the antennas, placing them very conveniently between antennas. I've never had much luck with them. At some point, I think I felt like they made a difference. I used to use I had some metal kitchen tongs,
mm-hmm.
and I used those, and they were a staple on my antennas for a long time. But I think really, especially nowadays that it's switched to digital signals instead of
mm-hmm.
whatever they used to call the old air signals.
That would be analog.
Yeah, right. Thank you.
Yeah, analog. You're welcome.
The digital ones, they don't really respond to any of that stuff.
Right.
Except the foil still makes a slight difference if you have a metal antenna, but not a ton.
Interesting. So for more antenna tips, you can just email nickmarino@gmail.com and he'll give you tips on any of your antenna related needs.
It's a topic I don't discuss much, but I actually have a lot of opinions about it.
I know I kind of made fun of you, but it's actually kind of interesting. I'm kind of
I don't feel like you're making fun of me.
But as you were talking, I actually found a couple of details that I actually forgot about.
Okay.
One is, well, I didn't really forget about it, but I did revisit it kind of recently when you posted the chapter one, the marmot with the dead eyes who steal the watch from the mugger. It has the dead eyes. It has the doll's eyes, like in Jaws. Like
I don't even remember. Was that in the script or did you just draw that in? I think you just drew it in.
I think I wanted more theft than just the wallet.
Yeah, like, I think you drew it in, so I gave it some dialogue. I love that's my favorite.
It's not really
like, I wish it had a name.
Yeah, me too. We could just name him after the fact.
Oh yeah, what do we want to call him?
Isn't he like a Ralph maybe?
Oh yeah, that's good. Ralph is a good mermaid.
Kind of looks like a Ralph.
Ooh, Ralph is scary. You never know if Ralph is going like, you know, you could get jacked walking down the street by Ralph at any point. He's an intimidating marmot.
There are two more things, both in the last panel, other than Happy Cow Burger.
Right.
One is a golden statue of Midnight amidst a bunch of benches. And the other is a baseball Wait, what's it called? Baseball field.
Yeah. To the right. Baseball diamond.
A baseball diamond, yeah. Which is sort of further cements this as being some form of weird alternate America. I know we kind of kept it international, but sometimes I do slip in things that are more typically American. And baseball.
America and or Japan.
And or Japan, exactly. But you can sort of, if you read it on webtoons, you can only see like part of it. I think you can see more of the diamond on nickmarino.com, I think.
No, I don't own .com. No, somebody
sorry,
else dot, is, dot, somebody.
Yeah, sorry, not gonna send you to the wrong webpage.
No, you know what? I would like to own nickmarino.com, but it used to be a computer programmer, and then he gave it up, and then the web host wanted like $300 for it. Wasn't gonna do it. And now I think it's a martial arts instructor from, I want to say he's somewhere in the American Midwest. But yeah, I think he teaches Taekwondo.
Do you ever get any Taekwondo emails?
No, oddly enough, I don't.
No. Okay.
I've never been confused for martial arts instructor Nick Marino. But lately, yeah. I've been getting the strangest emails.
Yeah.
They, I guess my journalist counterpart, he's been doing.
You want to explain to people, by the way, what we're talking about?
Oh yeah, there's just a lot of people named Nick Marino. I have the world's most simple email address, so I get a lot of their emails.
Yeah,
and I think the journalist one, he's been writing about architecture a lot because I got emails from people. I didn't know this was a thing. People who have fancy houses and fancy apartments hire publicists. So that their apartments and houses can be covered in magazines.
Oh, okay.
And I have been getting emails from two completely different publicists from two publicity firms about covering fancy houses / apartments.
Wow. So basically people who subscribe to that are either enthusiastic homeowners or burglars who like shopping around from home.
Actually, that would be great.
Like,
you know what?
Just like shop around like.
Yeah, yeah. Felicia and Ralph, if you're listening.
Yeah, there you go.
Email me at nickmarino@gmail.com. And I have got some houses that you guys can really just – you're going to have fun.
You can squat the hell out of them. You can just like, –
yeah. I mean, that's going to be some good stuff. These are fancy looking places.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think
– So, speaking of houses.
Speaking of.
Let's – segue to chapter 2/14.
I was just looking at that. It is, I know I say this a lot, but this is one of my favorite chapters. I think they say that about half of the chapters, but this one's definitely one of those.
You know what? You really brought a different vibe to this chapter too, because not only did we get to see some stuff, some areas of Megaville we haven't seen before, you really handled the split panel device very elegantly in this one.
Well, that is your script writing, to be honest. I think you pretty much clearly stated that we see it from this angle, we see it from that. I'm pretty sure this is all you.
Well, I feel like it's all you, so we're just gonna have to leave.
I strongly disagree.
I don't remember having any ideas like that. I might have, but I'm gonna say that it doesn't matter if I did or did not, because the execution is what matters.
It was a lot of fun just drawing. I remember drawing these panels just because, okay, I need to figure out, well, it looks like this from this angle, but what does it look like from the other angle? Just stuff like, I hope I really nailed this part, like shadows being in the right. Yeah, so you can see him shaded when you see him being tossed out because the light's coming from a different direction.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought about that, and I thought about just, you know, let's keep this story about an alien realistic. And just stuff like, what would the back of the sign look like when he's being thrown out of the recruitment office and, all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you missed anything.
I hope not. I try to think about most of that stuff, but,
Well, I spend a lot of time looking at these panels when I'm chopping them up, especially these ones for Webtoon, because, I couldn't. The way that the space worked on Webtoon, I couldn't show the panels as they were, or the lettering would have been too small. So But it also didn't work to make each half of the panel its own panel on Webtoon. So I did a thing where they're like a little bit staggered. And so I spent an extra lot of time looking at them and just kind of for fun, I compared them. And I was like, me and Rosie got our nephew Teddy into this, who some of you podcast listeners might remember from episode 2.
Yeah.
Us talking about him being into the comic. Yeah, but we got Teddy into this thing called Goofs, which, as a father, you might know about this on YouTube. There are people who just go around and whatever your kid's favorite thing is, they just dissect it and show you all the goofs in it, whatever the TV show or cartoon is, right?
Yeah.
And so our nephew's super into Thomas. What's his name? Magic Engine? What's his name, Rosie?
Thomas the Tank Engine.
I was never into this site.
I was definitely into Thomas the Tank Engine growing up.
I could see you.
Bingo Stars, the narrator of that show, is great.
Well, I mean, that's if you're that's if you're a Thomas OG. Like, I don't know if it's the kid.
You know. Oh, I am OG all the way.
Yeah, because then it was George Carlin, and then it was Alec Baldwin.
George Carlin?
Oh, Rosie says George Carlin was only ever in America as the narrator.
Yeah.
Right. Ringo in England.
Ringo Starr. That's right.
And then Pierce Brosnan.
Really? I think that's after my time, though. Definitely. I only remember the Ringo Starr being the narrator of the show.
Yeah. Well, fun fact, George Carlin did it, too. It doesn't seem to make sense.
That sounds amazing.
I don't think he swear. He didn't swore. No, well, he never swore.
Sure, I mean, but he has a great voice.
Yeah, no, he does.
He would be great. I mean, I can just imagine.
It's funny, though, Americans, like, the American people in entertainment don't think that Americans can watch things that aren't filled with American accents. So I guess they felt really, like, paranoid about that and had to refilm it with him, maybe.
But haven't you heard what's been going on with Peppa Pig in America?
No, like, what's going on with Peppa?
Well, apparently there are a ton of... when I say a ton, by the way, I mean this... This might be a bit exaggerated, but apparently a lot of parents are distraught over the fact that their kids, after having watched a ton of Peppa Pig,
are speaking with British accents.
British accents, yes. That might be true, though. I mean, who knows?
But, I like that. Did you hear about this, Rosie, that parents are upset because their kids are watching Peppa Pig and then speaking with British accents afterwards?
No, but I know it got banned in loads of places because they said it made people be rude to their parents.
Oh, she was saying... So Rosie knows about the other controversy, which is the rudeness controversy.
But are they, though?
I don't know.
I've watched a ton of Peppa Pig, and I watched too much Peppa Pig, I think, but I don't think they're that.
And Niels is like, he's had, like, major Peppa overload.
Oh, yeah, I'm sick of it. Yeah. I'm sick of most of those shows. Yeah. But Peppa Pig's one of the better ones, in my opinion.
So we got Teddy in the Thomas Goofs as an accident because he just wanted to watch the same Thomas videos over and over. And I was like, what do you think about this, Ted? How about some Thomas Goofs? And I was like, he's going to hate it because it sounds like they're ragging on Thomas. But it turns out, no, he loves it. And he is obsessed with Thomas Goofs and has now memorized every goof from the movie Thomas and the Magic Railroad, which is the Thomas movie that's a crossover between Thomas and
American
the Happy Time Stations, Sunshine Station, Sunny Time Station.
Is that like Megabots and Transformers? Is it that kind of thing?
I think it actually. No. I think it is. Yeah. It is kind of like that. And Shining Time Station. That's what it was. That was the name of the American Thomas spinoff. It's very convoluted. But where I was going with all that is to say, Teddy's gotten us into this idea of goofs. So I was searching your panels to see if there were any goofs, and I found none.
Okay, that is incredible. I think I know one, but we decided to keep it. If it counts as a goof or not, I don't know. But
Rob, what is it? Tell me.
Oh, there's a spelling mistake. That I think we talked about, and was like, no, it's better if we keep it. And it's the word inquire in the ad on in issue 2 and the last page. So it's spelled inquire. I wrote it. It's inquire with an I, even though it's spelled with an E. But I have this vague memory of us discussing it. Like, and I think you were like, let's keep it. Like, why not? Like, Loom could have misspelled a word. It's kind of funny if he has. So we just kept it.
Yeah, no, I think it's better that way. I believe that if it's like, for example, okay, so here's one that wouldn't have made it in. When you did the bus stops.
Oh, yeah.
You did two S's.
Yeah, yeah. Accidentally, I spelled it in Swedish, just like, and it was.
That's a very natural thing to do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just by pure.
But that's like, to habit. Me. Yeah, yeah. That's city infrastructure. So I'm like, well, we'll turn that into like the proper English. But I'm like, if it's in somebody's ad, even if it was something that was in our classified section at the end of this chapter, I don't think there is anything. But even if there was something, I'd be like, that makes sense. People spell things. There's typos all the time in real life.
Exactly. But not professionally produced material, even though Megaville is a pretty goofy city.
I mean, it is a bootleg city.
Yeah, it is. Let's talk about the city a little bit, because this is definitely one of those chapters where the city really comes to life and has a personality of its own, like becomes like the fourth character of the series. And Chokey Chunks and Sugar Lumps. We have these cereals, and if you read on Webtoons, you can see the full ad for the shoe, but it's just Shoe Plus. It's like Shoe and More. It's basically... It has like springs and rockets. It's just, it's a shoe, but it's better. So it's Shoe Plus.
You can head to nickmarino.net to read it in all its glory.
Mop Sponge is another one. We have a Kitty Camper cookie box at the top of the fridge as well.
And that's a whole other story.
It's a throwback. I think, the second time we see the Kitty Camper brand.
The first time would be in chapter 9 or 10 when Hester meets Midnight for the first time. I think officially.
There's a truck in the background. Yeah.
Now that we got the gang together, next podcast we should get into the Kitty Camper cookies, I think.
Yes. Like the whole story that we
initially.
Let's save it. But yeah, we should definitely.
Yeah, we should do it next time. Definitely.
We see the second appearance of the Night Corp brand logo thing that was on the TV when Hester was a kid. Yep. They haven't changed it in like 20 years. It's the same.
That's true. Yeah. Huh. Well, if it works, just use it.
And the recruitment poster. Again, it's kind of, having an eagle is kind of American, but it's still kind of generic at the same time. Like
just generic enough.
Blue brand. Yeah, yeah. Like these blue uniforms. Oh, Wacky Wheels Auto Repair Shop, one of the last panels. That's also one of those, like with suction cup wheels on the sign. That's, it's a weird city.
It's a really strange city, and it's filled with a lot of contrasts. I feel like, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
As most cities are, I think, you know, did you have a particular city in mind when you were doing this chapter where Blarf goes to the city for the first time?
No, not specifically a city. I think one of my big influences when it comes to cityscapes, generally the world being a character, is those classic LucasArts games like Monkey Island and Sam and Max hit the road. If you've ever played any of those games.
Wow, Sam and Max. Whew, throwback.
Oh, you remember this? Okay, so Sam and Max is a perfect example. The first thing you do when you exit their apartment in the game, it's just like there's a store that where it says, I think, guns, ammo, and baby accessories, something like that. Like this weird, weird mix of things. Like that.
But that's not even that weird here. Work. You have to understand that's like Walmart.
That's true. That's. I mean, but at the time.
No, it is weird.
But it's weird, and what. And I think Megaville, the way I added things to the background, is basically based on that type of world and storytelling, that this is just like this crazy world. And the classifieds, I think, was one of the most fun I had with this chapter.
Because I love those classifieds.
Yeah, because it just said like classifieds. And I figured this is my space to add whatever crazy crap I want, like smoke damaged fireworks, Flannels Enthusiasts Club, Laser Disc Repair. Why not?
First off, I need to say, Rosie and I have been on the hunt for a laser disc player. So if you have one, email me, nickmarino@gmail.com. But also, I would like, I feel like I could be a prime customer for that. Once I get my laser disc player, I'm going to need some of my laser discs repaired.
Yeah, someone needs to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Typically for, yeah, it's,
And or the joke could be that we made this.
But the joke is really the phone number, the 555 LD for life. Because there are people who honestly do everything they can to keep that technology alive, and it's just it's
well, not also
a joke on them, but it's just
we made this comic so long ago that laser discs were still popular.
Well, yeah, sort of. It was I mean, people weren't buying new laser discs, but they were buying. I think I just said discs, by the way.
You did say laser discs. I like that.
That's our next comic.
Yeah, that's good.
This is R-rated, right? This podcast. It's not.
I mean, it's unrated. So go for it.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, man seeks imaginary friend. That's kind of sad. Flash mob looking for work, and they have a sign up where it says hardworking.
Do you know what I feel like is especially good about the fact that we probably did this chapter like at least 5 years ago? Is that flash mobs are really looking for work nowadays. Who even wants one now?
I was sort of predicting the future, wasn't I?
You were very predicting.
Oh yeah, authentic Chinese sushi. You got to get that. Like that's a dinner right away. You could have.
You know what? I do have to say though, it was really weird about America. That's another thing too, where like some of these satires are actually spot on. That one's not that weird in America because people are they can be so ignorant sometimes that they don't even specify the differences between different Asian culinary cultures, and they expect any Asian restaurant they go to have both Chinese food and sushi.
Well, that's honestly not too weird here as well. I've had sushi at like a Chinese restaurant as well. I think what we get at a lot of those restaurants is not authentic food, but it's like a Western version of.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the fortune cookie was invented in America, actually. I think that's
my understanding of it. Yeah. But also, a next level thing would be advertising it in the newspaper, because who would do that? Definitely. You got to have some real issues.
But let's see. Oh yeah, and pre-owned. Sorry, just to retract to what we were. Pre-owned nails is
your favorite.
I think in my favorite because it's a recurring thing. Because there's a box of pre-owned nails in Blarf's shed or barn or whatever he lives in.
I feel like I'm gonna have to make you. And send you a box of pre-owned nails when the Evil Eye finishes.
Pull them out of a wall or something. And send them. this is structurally sound without a couple of nails.
Yeah.
And then buy a star. That is typical for the time, I think.
Do you know what? I think you can still do that.
I think you can still do that too, but there were like, I think, a lot of ads around that during that time.
Oh yeah, that was a big deal then. People were doing like a. They would like cover it in the news. They'd be like, "Have you met Herman Sellers? He wants to sell you a star."
And I think people marketed it as like the perfect Valentine's gift, stuff like that.
God, they did. Yeah. I'll tell you what. I think I actually watched an entire documentary on a guy who sold people stars and I think space on the moon. And you would get a certificate, and it would be like, you have bought 1 square foot or like 1 acre of land on the moon or on Mars or something. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. Great. Everybody knows NASA owns the moon. You can't.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, that's NASA's. All right. Absolutely.
So our next chapter. Oh yeah. Go ahead.
This is sort of connected to both. I think my favorite thing with the classifieds is actually the hand drawing of Gloom, where he's used, I think, crayon. It looks like crayon to draw a picture of himself. He doesn't have. Does he not own a camera?
Look, he's a scientist.
Yeah, and he drew muscles on himself as well.
He wanted you to see him as he sees himself.
Yeah, he sees himself as almost as tall as his building, or do we have depth in the picture? Is that what he's going for?
I don't know. We'd have to ask. Well, maybe we can get him on next episode and ask him.
Yeah, we'll have to call. Yeah.
But it's the perfect segue because we got to do a match cut, if you're talking film, where we get the ad and then the next chapter starts with the ad.
That's true. No star wipes here.
And this is, you know, like things are finally coming together. And we get in chapter 3/chapter 15... Hester and Gloom meeting for the first time.
Yup.
And This is one of my favorite chapters, which I do often say, but is also true that this is one of my favorite chapters, because I just love the way that we set up the dynamic of them doing their own things independently and kind of infringing on each other's personal space, and then realizing that begrudgingly maybe they would be better off together than apart.
And I think when you meet them the first time, you sort of already have a sense of what they'd be like together, that Hester would be probably pretty aggressive, and that Gloom would probably respond to physical violence exactly the way that he responds, with immediate cower and compromise. Because he is talented when it comes to technology. He knows some magic, but physical violence is not his forte.
You know, that's an interesting point you raise, and it's funny when you make a story like this. It's not like we sat down and we spelled these things out. They just felt like the right things for the characters to do when we were plotting these chapters. And it's interesting because in our chapter that people haven't read yet, but that'll be out soon, chapter 5/ whatever number, 17, something like that.
17/5.
Yeah. When people read that after this podcast comes out, I'll probably put this out tomorrow or Friday or something. And the comic will be out on the following Tuesday. Gloom does really make a point to, I think, show Hester that maybe he has learned from his easy defeat, and he's got plans in mind to kind of muscle up.
Oh yeah,
but doing it the way he knows how, with technology.
Yeah, technology and some testing as well.
Lots of testing.
Lots of
testing. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I feel like that's pretty straightforward in that chapter. The main Easter egg in that one is the dog.
If you want to see more of the dog, you'd need to go to nickmarino.net, because he had to be cut for obvious reasons.
Sadly, but I love that dog.
Yeah, he looks kind of dumb though.
Dumb. Very similar, but bringing it back to Teddy again.
Yeah.
When we were in London back in December, my sister-in-law and brother-in-law got Teddy a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up, Rosie, what did we call that dog? Oh, the bad vibes dog.
Bad vibes dog.
It was a poor puppy, man. It just had a bad vibe. And it really not only looks like the dog that you drew into this chapter, but acts like it too.
Oh, so it's like just a potato, basically like a furry potato.
Yeah, like a furry potato. I think that's about accurate. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Sadly, the bad vibes dog was returned to the person where they bought the dog from. And even sadder, the bad vibes dog died.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How sad. Old was it?
Yeah, it was getting a surgery for its wacky eye, and it didn't come back up from the anesthetic. So, R.I.P. Bad vibes dog. Made a big impression in a short amount of time.
You don't get that kind of meme without making an impression.
And so I'm gonna dedicate chapter whatever we're talking about to the bad vibes talk.
There is one more thing that actually gets cut out of this chapter that you can also see at nickmarino.net, and that is the man with the fanny pack and the orange shorts and I think Crocs slippers.
The owner
of the dog.
Owner. We don't know.
He's walking his dog, and Gloom's just being Gloom, which does, I think, draw a crowd.
Yeah.
Even though Megaville's a weird city.
But that's Gloom. I love, you just laid down the perfect segue, speaking of drawing a crowd.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's talk about chapter 16/4.
Which is maybe our favorite chapter, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
I've
been looking forward to this chapter, and I love. So, people may not know this, but we did have an original chapter, but you sometimes change some of the dialogue before you upload it, and the changes are amazing.
You're especially very kind. Thank you.
Especially to Mr. Gunface.
It had to be done. it had to be done. That's it's perfect.
I was looking at him and I was like, we got a golden opportunity here.
Yeah, we definitely did. He was originally silent. Yeah. So in the script, he was just standing there and just, no, you know what happened? I think we didn't have a script. I think you just said, draw a bunch of weird roommates.
That would make sense because when I was putting it together, I was thinking to myself, I was like, I didn't come up with these characters. And I was like, but I also don't remember us ever having a script for them. So where did they come from?
Yeah. I think you just said, yeah, just draw a bunch of weird, because Masturbator Champion 1988, the Seaman, he's definitely my creation.
Yes, he is. Although, and I feel a kindred spirit with that creative notion. Oh, yeah. I could have gone there, but I didn't. You did, and it's beautiful.
And then we have Rock, Paper, Scissors.
I love that one.
Me too. Paper was especially difficult to create just because, you know, what's his thing? Like Rock, it's pretty obvious, like a guy with the rock armor. Scissors, she got like a Wolverine type of treatment. But yeah. Paper was... So I gave him these fortune tellers as hands or as
weapons. Very clever.
Because, you know, paper is everything.
And do kids still make those?
I hope so. Yeah, I think...
Oldest. Is he old enough to be into that?
I have to ask him. I don't know. I hope so, because there's still a lot of fun. You know what? Yeah, I think my daughter, my second oldest, I think she came home with a fortune teller once. But it was so just like, what's his thing? He plays mind games. He's the scarecrow of the group. But with the fortune tellers or Riddler or whoever. he's not a fighter.
I like that there's a
number.
There's like a, you got a backstory for them.
Oh yeah. Like I can imagine him just going like, hello, Midnight. Pick a number. And I can just imagine Midnight just punching the guy.
That is good. I like that story. We should do that.
And Banana Republic.
Who, shout out to our readers. Banana Republic, I feel like, was the biggest hit. Shout out to Les, in particular, who
showed
to let us know.
I was not how expecting
much he enjoyed Banana Republic.
Banana Republic to be the favorite. I love Banana Republic. He, for some reason, his cigar is a banana as well.
It's a really good. It's conceptually very tight, that character. Yes. You did a really good job.
He looks like a sports mascot.
Yeah,
kind of. Something I get like a Simpsons vibe from the eyes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, I love a good mascot. So that one really is working for me.
My favorite was Reggie and Frank, the duo.
Reggie and Frank is a good one.
Yeah. Just a normal guy with a devil on his side. I get like a Will Ferrell vibe from him.
Oh yeah, big time.
Like in terms of body language and height and hairstyle, I think I was going for like a Will Ferrell type of character.
Yeah, I'd cast DeVito as to play the voice of Frank.
Definitely, such a DeVito.
Yeah.
Just that dynamic of like this pleasant, happy, normal guy.
They're all sitcom on their own, those two.
He was my favorite. Now Mr. Gunface is my favorite after you added the dialogue.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, Mr. Gunface, he was a real treat.
Yeah.
And then we had this other one that we added right at the end. Blarf.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that guy. Just a random character we threw in at the end.
Yeah, and now it's, you know, like, it was a good fit. He has no money. I really do enjoy the fact that Gloom needs money, which is why he's gone out to get roommates, but has taken in two roommates that have no money.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Gloom, as always, loses track of what he's doing and just, you know, keeps on doing whatever. I mean, that's sort of his thing all along, that he starts doing something and it sort of spins out and becomes something else. But I think what happened was Blarf said the magic word. He said underling, and that was it. Like, he had
you had me at under.
Yeah, it really was. I think that, like, this is, it's kind of one of the things I like about Gloom. You know, he's a jerk, but he's not like a terrible friend necessarily, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he can have a bad attitude, but, you know, as we'll find out in ensuing chapters, he still has to solve his money problem, mm-hmm. among many other things he wants to solve. And he doesn't necessarily make it Hester and Bluff's problem. He kind of takes it on himself to try and find a solution, although I don't really know that. I'm not going to say anything about it. We'll be there. In fact, but I think the next time we record, we might even be recording in the middle. The chapters might fall in the middle of his scheme.
Ah.
So I don't really want to say anything about what happens.
Then I will restrain myself. But yeah.
But it'll be the perfect time to talk about the other money-making scheme that didn't make it into the comic. Or maybe we could – I'll go back through and look at the storyboards and see. Maybe they warrant like a little special – kitty. Maybe the Kitty Camper cookies warrant a special like a – whatchamacallit, interlude in the webcomic, mm-hmm. and we'll post mm-hmm. them. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, whatever you think is good is good.
They might actually be perfect for Webtoon.
But you do have a point. We could sort of make a thing of it. Like, what skin didn't we use? We haven't addressed the line in front of the building, like with all these weird... I think
you're right. They're drawing a crowd.
I think the crowd... I think you just said, like, there's a line of supervillains.
Yeah.
Just go wild with it. My favorite is probably either the cow that I guess become sentient through whatever helmet.
Oh, I love that
like
cow.
A colander thing on its head, and the blob thing behind it. That seems like it swallowed a couple of people standing in line.
I feel like we've discussed this cow, and one of my favorite things about the cow is it drinking a latte made with its own milk?
Yes, that's right. We did talk about that. Who knows? I'm just glad that I got a chance to add another cow, because I think that might be my favorite animal. There's just something about cows. Oh, and we have another cow. I don't think I ever told you that it's one of my favorite animals, but do have a cow character in another comic.
That's funny, because we made sure. Huh. Yeah. It makes sense, though. I mean, this isn't your first cow in the Evil Eye.
No. I mean, cows. I even added like an utter magnet, I think.
Yeah.
In chapter two. Yeah. It's a funny animal.
Yeah, cows are great. They really are funny animals. Yeah. Our other, and I have to say, I'm just a little mention, our other comic, our Underwater Koalas. We haven't said the name of it yet. But now that I got the printer, I have been handing out a lot of them. I mean, I've been giving them to waiters. We were in Disneyland yesterday, and I gave them to a guy who captained the steamboat. It sounds more technical than it is. He hits a button and it drives along a track underwater. But he was really
he's a nice guy. He's a captain.
He is captain. And so so at some point, I'm just expecting somebody's just going to post it, and that'll be the reveal.
Ooh. That's kind of a pretty nice soft type of launch as well.
I think so. Yeah, yeah.
And at that point, we can say the name basically.
Yeah, like I don't know when it's gonna happen, but that cow, she's right on the first page of that story. So.
Yep. One of my favorites. One character I really like in the line, and this is just a complete accident, even though I love it, is the baby.
Yeah, this is a really happy accident.
It is.
Oh my god! And it all ties together. We didn't mention it yet. There's a reference. So, I've been fortunate to work with a few spectacular collaborators in my time. Niels and I being my longest collaborative relationship. And is it?
That goes both ways.
Yeah. And our first story we ever did together was on Super Haters, my old webcomic, and we did like a more enhanced version than I normally did, much more enhanced version than I normally did. And it required naming a city, and we just chose the name Megaville. That was just it. And so whenever I've been doing a story that needs a generic city that we haven't nailed down, it's Megaville. So the Super Haters are in Megaville, the Evil Lives in Megaville. And the story I did with Daniel Arutamasa, one of my other longtime collaborators, was set, and Rosie, shout out Rosie, and we ended up setting that one in Megaville. And it wasn't, I just kind of picked the name. It wasn't like something I thought about long. I don't even think you and I had a conversation about it. I just figured they needed a city, and Megaville's there, and it's just fun that they could be set there. But when I was going back through and lettering these comics, the Evil Life, I slipped the cougar reference into chapter 1/13 when Hester's trying to decide what to do with her life. And it all comes back around because unintentionally, long before I ever did Cougar and Cub, we did this panel with the crowd waiting outside where you just kind of put in a bunch of crazy characters, and one of them was a giant baby.
Of course. I mean, you got to have the giant baby.
And I think most of the villains in Cougar and Cub, I kind of gave Daniel an outline for them. And I guess maybe subconsciously I put this giant baby in there. I don't know. I can't remember if maybe Daniel just came back to me with a giant baby as a villain. But there's a character, Diaper Rash, in Cougar and Cub, who's one of the Cougar's main supervillains. And it just works out perfect because now that we know they're set in the same city, this is definitely Diaper Rash looking for a new home.
When I read Cougar and Cub, I think I emailed you immediately and I was like, is that the baby from the line in The Evil Life? It wasn't at that point, but it kind of immediately was in my head canon. Like that.
Oh, it is now.
It definitely. Is now. Yeah, sure. Yeah. But I mean, that was just a perfect happy accident.
In fact, I forgot to even post about that. I should do a little tweet about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Giant baby.
Thanks for reminding me about that.
And I mean, based on the distance, that baby is huge, unless people are kind of small.
No. It actually fits in perfectly with Cougar and Cub because that baby is fucking huge in that comic.
I think there's a guy in front of the baby with a Superman logo on his chest.
Probably is Superman.
Can sort of make it out, except he has two heads, which is kind of weird.
You know, but wouldn't Superman, though?
Yeah, this Superman has two heads. Oh, there's a guy in the line. I don't know if you can tell, but behind the robot thing with the boxing gloves, in front of the clown, there's a guy with an upside-down face. That's his supervillain thing. Do you see it? The Cyclops guy with the red Cyclops. He's on roller skates.
I haven't been looking along. I should go look along right now.
Yeah, I'm just looking at them right now. And there's one classic evil professor guy, and the rest are they have evil stuff about them, but then there's like this little detail, like why is he on roller skates and why is his face upside down? And why is there a snail tank in the line? Like, is there a guy inside or is that the thing? Is it like a robot?
Yo, I never noticed upside down face before.
I forgot about half of these. Upside down face, it kind of seems like the type of misfortune that's already happened to our characters. Like, if you're a little weird, you automatically become a villain.
No, this is a great crew here. I mean, it's, I like the two-headed Superman. Tuperman?
Yeah, Tuperman. There you go. That's
what if it's two-per-man, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof.
Tuperman.
So, send me an email, nickmarino@gmail.com, if you want us to do a Tuperman comic.
Tuperman comic. I want a comic about who's ever in charge of changing Diaper Rash's diapers, because he definitely needs a handler.
Diaper Rash does have henchies, and
that might be their job.
And they are really, really muscly. Like they're like bodybuilders who also wear diapers.
Like, yeah. This guy poops elephant poop. I mean, that's
actually one of my Diaper Rash's poop is like my proudest moment in Cougar and Cub.
Stinky.
Yeah, it's Cub grabs a big poop out of Diaper Rash's diaper and then.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And then it force feeds it to some of the henchies and Diaper Rash, and there's just
You don't shy away from keeping it real. I mean, you go into like poop and farts and everything. Like,
this, I mean, is that's life. That's real life, baby.
That's life. Right? People poop. So they fart.
So I hope that you guys enjoyed our end theme, and we enjoyed listening to it. And so here we are. This is the after end theme. It can be, anything can happen here.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward. This next chapter is one of my favorites. They're all one of my favorites.
Well, I'm just not remembering what kind of chapters we've got ahead of us. They might be my favorites, my real favorites. We'll see. But there are some, I mean, ahead of us, we still have most of the earliest chapters, like the original chapters,
yeah,
those 30,
yeah, we do.
Most of those are still ahead of us. Yeah. That is kind of weird that some of the oldest pages are left, but yep, that's how we did it.
Just how it worked.
Yep.
Well, you know what? I need to go eat some lunch. You probably need to go to bed.
Nah. It's spring break.
Yeah, what am I saying? When it's not spring break, you're up till 4 a.m. anyway.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I get a lot of really...
You get late emails.
I get the evening emails from you, but those are your late night emails.
Those are my late night. Like, sometimes I'll remember, oh, no, wait, I did not email Nick yet. I should probably do that before I go to bed. But usually those are, like, right before I go to bed.
Yeah, normally, which, like, around, like, 6:30 my time.
Yeah, so, which means that they'll be hastily written and just, like, everything, like, in one go. Like, gibberish, basically.
No, they're very understandable.
Well, thank you.
If you want to see some of Nils's emails, email me at nickmarino.com and maybe I'll forward some to you.
All that incoherent babbling. We should probably end with a couple of shout outs to the people who have actually taken the time to comment on our comic.
I love that. Let's do it.
And I'd love to hear your take on their comments. So I'm just going to sit back and just listen to your voice, sir.
Oh, that's very nice of you. Thank you.
Yes. You're welcome.
I should probably go look at these comments so I know which ones you're talking about.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking chapter 16 is probably, like, we could, I think, well, I guess we could go back, but I think most of the people who regularly comment are on chapter 16.
Well, the Tom Lake, that's a new addition. Mm-hmm. Tom and I have a story together in the Bun and Tea anthology. Mm-hmm. And Tom said he grew up on a farm. And it sucked. No, he didn't say that. Tom said he likes Blarf a lot and definitely thought Blarf was cute for hating farm life. And shout out to Tom for that.
Yeah. Glad we could highlight how much farms suck, I guess.
Yeah. I feel like we did an important service there. Shout out to Connor Grimes.
Stop growing up on farms.
Yeah. Don't do it. It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Shout out to Connor Grimes, who had a good pun in their comment. What a crazy shituation.
Yeah,
it's true because it ends with a shit joke and then
nice. You added to the humor of the comic.
They should have wrote first too, because that was the first comment, I think. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Story Flake. I agree, the story was very good, so
that's a really nice comment.
I appreciate that one.
Yeah.
And then no shout out to Jerry the Marmot or Felicia the Marmot.
No shout out.
I mean, shout out to them for commenting, but no shout out to them for their negativity.
Nope. We should probably give a shout out to Team Calamity as well, because Team Calamity has been commenting.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Team Calamity.
Just in general. Thank you for all the comments. I think that's our most frequent commenter besides.
Yeah, and Les. Les is a very frequent commenter.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
So shout out to Les. Yes, no. Yes. It's all good. You're doing a good job highlighting. Shout out to Team Calamity. Appreciate your comments. Shout out to Les. Appreciate your comments.
I am personally a terrible commenter. I generally don't take, I don't think I remember my login. I don't think I remember my password. I might have to reset it. But I read the comments and I appreciate all the comments.
I do too.
Yes. I'm bad at outros. That was the end. I'm bad at outros. I don't know how to end a conversation, I think.